And a very good morning to you. It's John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group back with you for another program of The Law and You. Your opportunity to get free legal advice between now and 9:30. All we want you to do is get on the telephone 55208888 because that's what makes the program your calls 55208888. If you're south of the Tweed River, 07 in front of the number, but otherwise you'll get through on our number. Don't forget we do have an email address, talkback@4crb.com, if you're not in a position to make a call but would like to participate in the program. We can answer any emails received in next week's program. But we have someone who's been waiting very patiently online, and we say a very good morning to June. G'day, June. How are you today?
Oh, good morning. Is that John?
It is indeed. How can I help you today?
I was listening to your program last week.
Yes.
And you talked about the case of a child who had been adopted by another family.
Yes.
And whether they could share in the original birth parent's estate.
Mm.
They couldn't. This is something a little bit different but similar. A relative of mine acted as a surrogate for a couple that couldn't, or the mother couldn't have a child.
Mm.
So she acted as a surrogate. And she had children of her own.
Mm.
And so anyway, the family that took the surrogate child, they're bringing him up as their own.
Yes.
Now, in the meantime, the surrogate mother has died, and when it's come to the point where there is superannuation to be divided among the children who are her heirs, and because the child of the surrogacy has listed on his birth certificate the actual natural mother,
mm-hmm.
The superannuation company are now saying that he has to share in the distribution of the superannuation, which deprives her natural children of part of their inheritance.
Right.
What is the legal position on that?
Right. So you're saying that the surrogate child was actually adopted by the family?
By the natural father and his wife.
So there was a formal adoption that took place?
I think so, but I'm not sure. Mm. Would that make a difference?
Well, it could make a difference. The situation with superannuation is quite unusual, and things like this do happen, particularly where there's not been a binding death benefit nomination that's been put in place. So if there's been no binding death benefit nomination...
Well, I understand there was one listing her natural to her own children.
Yes,
but
well,
not including the surrogate child.
Mm, but it obviously wasn't a binding death benefit nomination.
Oh, I see.
She might have only made what's referred to as a death benefit nomination. So,
yes.
Yeah, so look, I'll need to have a little bit more of a look at this, June, because it is going to depend on the legislation, the superannuation legislation, as opposed to the legislation in relation to succession. But just to be clear, a child that's adopted out and therefore has the has their adopted parents shown on their records as their parents, to the exclusion of the biological parents, they really can't bring a claim against the biological parent, although there are very limited circumstances in which they might be able to. And for example, in New South Wales, if the adoption occurred many years after the child's birth, or the biological parent died before the adoption occurred, and so I'm not sure what the age was here. Where how old was the child when the mother passed?
Handed over at birth.
Yes, and how old was the child when the biological mother passed away?
I think about 6 or 7.
Right. So I suppose the issue is whether the adoption had been completed, because that would be a relevant thing. And then the third situation in New South Wales, and I'll come to Queensland in
this
a moment.
I'll come to Queensland
in a moment, is where the child has re-established a relationship with the biological parent and becomes financially dependent on them. Now, in Queensland, The only circumstances in which they could make a claim, where an adopted child can make a claim, is if they can show that they were financially dependent on their birth parent. But look, June, I'll look further at this and just see what I can find out, and I'll make a comment on it next week, because it's certainly a highly unusual situation, and I'd just like to check, because certainly the exercise of discretion by trustees under either an industry fund or a retail super fund can cause a lot of angst, particularly when there are large insurance policies involved, and sometimes people might make what they think is a binding death benefit nomination, but it's not a binding one at all. It's just an ordinary death benefit nomination. Under a lot of retail and industry funds, those binding death benefit nominations are only valid for 3 years, whereas a death benefit nomination, not a binding death benefit nomination, doesn't lapse after that period of time. So there's a few little traps there, and I've seen over the years a few unexpected outcomes in this situation. So let me have a look at it, and I'll certainly make a full comment on it next week.
Well, thank you very much. I might mention that there's the relationship between the surrogate mother and the adopting parents had broken down, and there hadn't been any sort of contact. The child probably isn't aware who the surrogate is. He's certainly not being brought up to acknowledge her as his mother. So I'd be very appreciative. I'll listen next week to see what you've found. Thank you, John.
Okay, no trouble at all, June. All the very best. Time on 4CRB rolls along, and we've got Lois online. Good morning, Lois. How are you today?
Good morning. It's Louise.
Oh, Louise. Sorry, Louise. Yes, I've got you down as Lois. But that's okay.
That's okay.
How can I help you today?
I just would like to ask. I always listen to your show, and last week you gave through the phone number for legal aid, and I just missed that.
All right.
Because I think I need to go and see. I don't want to burden you with it. I think I'll go and see legal aid. That's my problem. Okay.
Right. So, Louise, whereabouts on the Gold Coast do you live? Which suburb?
Burleigh Waters.
Burleigh Waters. Okay, so there are two options, or there are three options that I can give you. The first one would be the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau. Now, their telephone number, have you got a pen handy?
Yes.
Okay, so their telephone number is 5532961. Now,
5532961.
Now, although their office is located in Southport, they do visit centres up and down the Gold Coast, and they very well may visit somewhere near to you, where you live at Burleigh Waters.
I wouldn't mind to go and see the Southport one.
Yes, well, if you ring them on that number, you can give them a brief outline, and they can arrange an appointment for you, be it when they visit somewhere near Burleigh or for you to go to Southport. Now, the other alternative to you is My Community Legal, which was formerly the Robina Community Legal Centre. Now, with them, you don't make an appointment to go and see them. They operate from 6:30 until 8:30 p.m. on a Thursday evening. Now, they're at the Gold Coast City Council Robina Community Centre. So, you know where the library and everything is at Robina Shopping Centre?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so directly...
That's just opposite the post office there, isn't it?
That's right, yes. So opposite the post office, you've got the Anglican Church, Robina, and then immediately to the west of that, the northwest of that, you've got the Gold Coast City Council Community Hall, in which the library's located. And on the southern side there's another building there, and that's the Gold Coast City Council's community centre, Robina Community Centre. So they operate there on a Thursday evening from 6:30 to 8:30. And finally, if you did want the number for legal aid, and their office is in Bay Street at Southport, I can give that to you as well. Their number is 1300 65.
1300.
Yes, yeah. 65, 11,
yeah.
88.
65, 11, 88. Hmm. Yeah, yeah, so, I have been there once before, a couple of years back, but I didn't, I couldn't think what street they were in Bay Street,
that's
are
it,
they?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, then. Thank you very much, John.
Okay, then, thank Louise. You. All the very best. Yeah. And the time on 4CRB is rolling along. It's presently 15 minutes past 9. 5520888 is the number. That's 5520888. Presently, we have no callers online. So if you have a question or a query, get on that telephone right now. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
Everyone deserves an opportunity to pursue their dreams. That's why at Tender Loving Care, we work hard every day to help people with a range of disabilities to access the services they need. For a limited time, we're offering 20 hours free, no obligation planning to help you hand in hand on your NDIS journey. Simply mention you heard this on 4CRB. Get started at tlcdisabilityservices.com.au. Station sponsor Tender Loving Care, because life can be so much better with a little TLC.
And you're in tune with 4CRB, 89.3 FM. The program is The Law and You. It's your opportunity to get free legal advice. All we need you to do is ring that number, 5520888. As I said, the lines are presently free, so if you have a question or a query, you'll be able to get straight through. Thank you to all the people who rang in last week and made certainly for a very interesting program, quite a number of calls on many and varied topics, and of course that's what we always like to hear. I did make some comments at the start of the program last week and just followed them up then, of course, with June's inquiry about the entitlement of adopted children on the estate of their biological parents and dealing principally with Queensland and New South Wales in relation to that. The other area that's of interest to many people is the entitlement of stepchildren on the estate of a step-parent. So a step-child is not legally, of course, the child of a deceased person, but therefore a step-child doesn't have, is not included under the description of child in a will unless a contrary intention appears in the will. So if the will specifically says that the definition of child or includes my stepchildren, then they would not necessarily receive any interest in the estate if it was just left to children. And also, stepchildren can't claim in Queensland on intestacy, but if a stepchild is included as an, but they are included as an eligible applicant who can make a family provision application under the Succession Act. And that's laid down under Section 40A of the Succession Act. Now, one of the other things there, of course, is that if the parents of a stepchild are divorced before the step parent dies, then the stepchild does not have a claim in relation to the estate. But if the step parents are still married or living together in a de facto relationship at the time of death, then the stepchild would be entitled to make a claim. We'll have a little bit of a chat about New South Wales, but in the meantime, we've got George online. Good morning, George. How are you today? Hello, George. Are you there?
Yes, is that John, is it?
It is. George, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks, John. You might remember me from last week, John. I asked you about some advice about a class action.
Yes.
Okay, and you gave me a number for the legal community people.
Yes.
And I rang them up, and they said to me that we can't help you in that matter.
Oh, that's rather disappointing.
I asked why, and they didn't give an explanation. They just said it's just an area where they don't go to. So.
Right. Okay. So was that the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau at Southport? Was it?
Well, I'm not sure. What you did give me a number, and I rang it. It was 960, but I'm not sure if it was. I'm not sure if it was that one, or would it have been maybe Legal Aid?
No. It sounds like it was the if it was 9611, that's the number for the office at Southport. George, whereabouts on the Gold Coast do you live? What suburb?
I live on the north end near Coomera.
Oh, that's right. That was the reason why I referred you to them, because I thought that they would be a better option for you than going down to the My Community Legal, who operate from the Robina Community Legal Centre. So that would be your only other option, George. They operate from 6:30 to 8:30 on a Thursday evening in the Gold Coast City Council's Robina Community Centre.
Well, you don't need an appointment to go to that.
No, you just simply, I recommend that you turn up at 6:30 though, turn up early. So that you can get to see someone. I know a couple of the lawyers from our office have been involved with that, and I certainly would not expect that they're, you know, that they wouldn't be able to assist you. As I said to you, the problem is that I'm not able to give you advice on whether you should sign or shouldn't sign, because without reading the document that you're being asked to sign, it's something that you've got to be very careful about. So, George, if you give them a try, there is a... They do have a mobile number here, which perhaps you could give a call. Have you got a pen handy?
Yeah, yes, I do. I just get that down. The number I did ring, you needed to have an appointment. And
yes.
I remember now that they wouldn't make an appointment. They said, we can't do that. So if I just turned up, then they've got no choice. They've got to listen to me, haven't they?
Pretty much.
Yes.
So you could go down and see them. And, George, if you have no luck with that, perhaps give me a call at the office, and I'll endeavour to refer you to someone who might be able to assist you.
Okay, because like I'd mentioned last week, there's 26 pages of Chinese writing in my eyes. And the term that you mentioned, litigation funding, comes up quite often, and that scares me, and I'm not going to sign 26 pages of...
Certainly not without having it checked, that's for sure.
Okay, John, thanks for that. I'll get that number.
So the number that they have here for My Community Legal, which is the Robina one, is 0423
466 286. Okay, I'll try that, John.
So you can give them a call and just see how you go.
Yeah, okay, thanks for your help.
No trouble at all. And the time on 4CRB is just past 23 minutes past 9. As we say, a very good morning to Jill. Good morning, Jill. How are you today?
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Yes, hi, John.
Jill, is it?
Yes. John, I'm hoping you might be able to just give me some quick advice. My mum's in her late 80s. She owns her own home, and she was left a unit in a will. She's finding that, you know, to... what to do with it or all that sort of thing. And she was asking me if I would like to take my inheritance early and transfer the unit. She feels that where I'm living at the moment, which I own mine, in a few years' time I may not be able to get upstairs, and the unit has lifts and everything, and she'd like to think that in my age group, that would be a great unit for me. So she said that she'd like to transfer. Is there any problem with that? Or
is your mother on the pension?
Yes, she is.
Okay,
yes.
Well, the inheritance of the unit is going to present a bit of a problem to her, because that very well may impact her asset position in terms of her pension. So that's the first thing that you're going to have to look at. The second thing is that if she transfers that unit to you, then that will be divesting herself of assets, and it very well may mean that she will lose her pension for a long time, because I think from memory you can give away $10,000 a year up to a maximum of $30,000 every 5 years. So if that apartment is worth $500,000, it's going to be a big problem.
Oh, okay. That's what I was even thinking about too, because they wouldn't the pension would say, well, that was yours and you could have been using that or something.
Yes, well, the other thing is that you need also to look at her asset position. Her own, does she still live in her own home?
Yes, she does.
Okay, so her own home is excluded. What would you estimate the value of this apartment to be that she's inherited?
$500,000.
Okay, so what you need to look at, and you might be best to ring Finance Forum on Thursday at the same time, 9 o'clock, the Finance Forum program here on 4CRB, just to ask them. They would be able to tell you what assets she can have before she'll lose her pension. Another possibility, Jill, may be that she could allow you to live in the unit without actually transferring the ownership. And depending on how many siblings have you got?
Two others. And she was sort of thinking, well, her home then would go to the two of them.
Yes.
Just to be divided, and I've already got my inheritance.
Yep. So what you may be able to do, for example, and again, this will be subject to checking with the appropriate people at Finance Forum, what you may be able to do is she might be able to say to you, okay, well, look, you can move into that property and I'll give it to you. And don't forget, if you're on the pension, you're going to have a similar problem that you're going to have to think about as well. But
yeah,
you can,
I'm working.
Okay, so you could move into that property she could, in her will, provide that property goes to you, and then that her home and whatever other assets there are that will equalise the estate between you and your siblings go to your siblings. But I would strongly recommend that you have a family conversation about it with your siblings and your mother before you do anything on it, just to make sure that they're all on board and they don't see that there's anything that they're not happy about going on, because that's the way the problems often arise in these matters, where people perceive, and often wrongly, that there's been either advantage taken of an elderly parent, or alternatively, that someone has received an unfair advantage. So openness and transparency in conversation between you and your siblings and your mother, after getting appropriate advice in relation to the impact that all of these decisions might have on your mother's pension. And you would also need to consider some tax issues as well, because while the property is owned by your mother and you live in it, you would need to determine the value at the time that your mother inherited the property, which will be the cost base, and then there may be some capital gains tax, a small capital gains tax issue to be addressed later on if you ever sold the property, because for the period of time that it was in the ownership of your mother before it was transferred to you under the will, by comparison to how long you live in it as your principal place of residence after that date, there may be a small proportion of capital gains tax to be taken into account.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic information. Thank you so much, John, for your time.
No trouble at all, Jill. All the very best. And the time on 4CRB just keeps rolling along. It's 28 minutes past 9, and that's probably about all the time we have for calls today. If you have a question or a query for the Law and You, don't forget, of course, that you can always call us next week on 5520888. But don't forget, we do also have that email address, talkback@4crb.com, if for some reason you were not able to bring a claim. Now, we were talking about the rights of stepchildren in relation to the estate of their step-parents. In New South Wales, for the purposes of eligibility to bring a claim on an estate, stepchildren don't share equal rights with biological children. For the stepchild to be eligible in New South Wales, they have to demonstrate that they were wholly or partly dependent on the deceased person and were at the time a member of the same household of which the deceased person was a member. So certainly a little more limited down there for stepchildren. That is, of course, unless the stepchild is specifically included in the will, or the definition of child in the will specifically includes stepchildren. So they're just a few of the little vagaries of the laws between Queensland and New South Wales on that subject. I'm John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to be with you this morning for another program of The Law and You. I look forward to being back with you in 2 weeks' time, actually. I'm taking a little break next week, but Tom Trembath and Dan O'Connor from Bell Legal Group will be here to take your calls. Tom, of course, is a expert in the area of property law, and Dan is one of the members of my team in the estate planning team, so you'll be more than adequately serviced by the combined knowledge of Tom and Dan next week. So until then, as always, it's goodbye and God bless.